We're now going to move into our message, and if you don't know, this is my lovely wife Susie.
Hello.
And a bit of a tidbit, we've been married for 20 years as of this week, so certainly something to be thankful for. But anyway, let's pray, and then we'll move straight on. Heavenly Father, we'd just like to say thank you for the service that we could watch so far. Thank you, Lord, for the truth, Lord, that we've heard, whether it's been in song or whether it's been in the videos. Father, now as we talk about motherhood, I would just like to pray and ask that you would just speak to each of us, that we would hear from you and, Father, learn to be what it is to be a better mother and to rejoice knowing that you are with us and helping us every step of the way. So we just want to commit our time to you now. And pray that you just open our ears and open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.
So, motherhood, as in the video that we just watched, showed us that it's full of all sorts of different times. Fun times, good times, hard times, even silliness, messing around.
Silliness is a good thing.
It's a lifelong journey that we embark on. I grew up with a wonderful mother who loved me well and taught me about God, along with my dad, of course, but that's for another day.
Father's Day.
Yes. I looked forward to becoming a mother my whole life. Such a privilege to be able to be a mother. So many special things about being a mother, which can be different for each of us. Some of us the birth. Maybe not for everyone, but for me, I mentioned actually to Danny a little bit earlier that I would actually rather be giving birth now again than to have to do this talk today. Special firsts, watching them learn to crawl, to walk, their first words, starting kindy, school, such special times to be a part of and to celebrate. And if you're like me, to cry about too.
Lots of crying.
So many joys and good things, but also tears and hard times. I remember days, especially when the kids were really little, spending many times just sitting on the floor crying and not knowing what to do next. The sore body, the lack of sleep and sheer exhaustion as my baby that hadn't read the same books that I had and wasn't fitting into the beautiful sleep, feed, play routine that all the books say. This is how it should happen, and it wasn't happening. So clearly, I was just a failure and couldn't cut it as a mother. I don't know if you've ever had days like that, but I certainly did. How is it that all these other women, I would think and look around, how could they all do it so easily, and yet I, who had had so much experience before becoming a mother, looking after everyone else's children, I was all set, ready to be a mother. Now, with my own babies, I was floundering. And then as they get older, those things actually do settle down and it does get easier if you're still in the thick of that, let me tell you. But other things come up that I don't know how best to handle, and I find myself again crying out to God and just not knowing how to handle the situation or what to do next. It's all too easy, I think, for a lot of us to look around and see each other at church or playgroup, or we turn up at the school, or we go to work, wherever the different places we may be, and we see other women, other mothers, and we look at them and we think, wow, they've got it all together, they can do this and that, and here I am struggling so much. But I think we need to remember that we're only seeing a real small part of it.
That's right.
And I'm sure each of us could go, if we could go into the homes of each of us and see the day-to-day life and the day-to-day struggles and see where people are really at, we would realise that we're actually all struggling with the same things in different ways, at different times, but we just don't always see it when we're out and about and on the surface. So there's a lot of pressure out there to have it all together, to know exactly what to do, and yet parenting is one of the hardest things that you ever do. Often with the least amount of training.
What, even harder than being married to me?
Yes, it is.
Fair enough.
The responsibility of moulding, shaping their lives. For the next generation, the importance of what I'm doing is often just overwhelming.
So, you know, don't be worried if you're thinking, I haven't got it all together, or what on earth am I doing? Mm. It's all just part of the journey. And that's why the church is so important, that we join together and we live life together and we help each other. Mm. Because you know what? We don't all have it together. Mm. And that's okay.
Mm. As a Christian, I think the feeling that, well, as a Christian especially, I should have it all together. Mm. I should be the perfect parent. But what does it take to be that perfect mum? Well, there is no such thing as a perfect mum. Thankfully, God isn't asking us to be perfect. And God is the only perfect parent. God doesn't get surprised by our failings or where we fall short. God knows that we can't do this on our own. And he is there for us, ready to fill in those gaps where we fall short, ready to give us the support and the strength that we need. It's not about being perfect.
No.
It's about doing the best that we can, empowered and directed by God's Holy Spirit. Today, we have access to so much information. The internet, webinars, blogs, so many ways that we can get information on parenting. And this is not a bad thing by any means. I think it's a great thing to always be looking to improve and learn more about being a better parent.
That's true. I think it's important to remember that not everything that you read or that you see is good. There's a lot of rubbish out there too. So whatever parenting course or thing or book that you may read, make sure that you just look into it well. Now, Susie and I are certainly dedicated to helping parents and people be the very best they can be in God and in their families. And like we teach a parenting course called Toolbox Parenting, which is a great course. Good, solid Christian principles that help us to be a good, solid parent with good boundaries and bring our children up in a loving and caring environment. There's also some really other good information, like Focus on the Family. They have some great things that they put out. So make sure that you look into what you're going to learn and to kind of bring into your own home. I would encourage you to actually make sure you grow as being a parent.
So all these great courses and different sources of information are great. The only danger is when these sources are the only place that we're looking for help.
Yeah.
The best help comes from the only one who can be called the perfect parent, God.
Yeah.
And there is so much to parenting, raising a whole other person.
Mm.
The most important part of parenting is teaching our kids about God.
Yeah.
At Para Vista Church, we're very blessed with the team of leaders that we have in SAMS. Thank you, SAMS leaders.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, girls.
They do an amazing job at teaching our kids. And for our other parents, with our kids, we're very appreciative of the input that they've had in each of our kids' lives. Very much. So they do a great job at setting that foundation, teaching them God's truths. And then at home, our kids see how it's lived out and those truths implemented into daily living. So how do we all, as parents, do this? How do we get that head knowledge that they get at SAMS, at church, and hopefully at home too? How do we get that head knowledge from there to their heart and from there out into their actions of their daily living? How do we instill in them a genuine love for God and a desire to live for him for all of their lives?
We've worked out hitting them with a big black Bible doesn't work. So there are better ways.
Yeah. I'm certainly no expert. Neither of us are experts.
No.
As I've already shared that. But I don't have it all together. Just ask my kids. I'm sure they can tell you. But I can share some practical things that I do, that we do, to teach our kids about God. Things that I don't always get right. But remember, it's not about being perfect. It's not about getting it just right. It's about striving to do the best that we can. Also, our family is different to your family.
Yeah.
So what works for us may not work for you. It's about sharing ideas, taking what we can from those ideas and using them, adapting them to fit in our own family dynamics.
Yeah.
So I think firstly, we need to look at our own lives as mums. We need to do a check and ask ourselves, well, how is my relationship with God going? If I'm going to input into my children and teach them about God, firstly, how is my friendship relationship with God growing and developing? Is he the first one that I would naturally turn to in a day when something happens to talk to God about it? Am I spending time to read the Bible for myself? The Bible is God's instruction manual for the best way to live. So what better place to start? It'll help us to grow in wisdom, in our faith, and to be transformed into the people, the mums, the parents that God wants us to be. And our children see that this is an important part of our life if they see us reading the Bible and spending time in it.
We need to remember that when God inspired those men to write the Bible, he created each and every one of us. And so he knows the very best way for us to all live. And hence why the Bible was written to help us live well. You know, John 10:10 says, you know, that we would live life and live life more abundantly. And I really believe, you know, we certainly really believe that the Bible is that basis of how we can learn and how we can grow. And it's going to give us the best foundation possible for the designer of us and you and your kids.
Do we spend time with others who are like-minded to encourage us with these things?
Yeah.
Do we have a priority in going to church regularly as a family? Do I go to a Bible study to encourage my own personal growth? Do I have a mentor in my life to go and talk to about life and to check in on how things are going? Personal growth doesn't just happen. It takes choice. It's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it is work. Sadly, it doesn't come easy.
No, and it doesn't come naturally. Our mentors help us to sharpen us and sometimes, you know, ask those questions, you know, that we wouldn't normally or like to ask ourselves. You know, we've all heard of that phrase, you can't see the trees for the forest. And sometimes when we're in the midst of everything, we can't see where we're at. And having somebody else look into our lives and talk into our lives makes it also very important, and how valuable that is to help us. Mm. You know, never be afraid of counsel, but just make sure it's good counsel.
Mm. So as we endeavour to put God first in our own personal lives and seek him in all things, we draw closer to him, we hear from him how best to parent, how best to live. So we then need to teach our kids the importance of prayer. I think prayer shouldn't be something that just happens at church on a Sunday or for meals. Prayer should be a natural part of our everyday life and encompass all things. We need to teach our kids the importance of thanking God, firstly. That prayer isn't about going and just asking him for things, but going to God with a thankful, grateful heart, and thanking him for what he's done for us, for who he is, for all that he's blessed us with in our lives, and thanking him in all circumstances, whatever they may be. I think modelling prayer with them too. So obviously if we pray as a family for meals and thank God for what he's given us at meals, but also at bedtimes, and that going with your child as individuals and praying with them so they can see you pray and they pray and they learn what prayer is and how to pray. Better by being modelled to you how to learn something.
And you know, going back to that point about, you know, being thankful and grateful, you know, our kids are watching us to see if God is just this kind of Father Christmas. We, do we just pray and ask God for things, or are we truly grateful and thankful in all circumstances of life? And, you know, the longer you live life, the more you quickly realise that it's not all a bed of roses, and it's not always going to be easy, and it's not going to certainly go how we thought or we planned or we think that it should. And so when that tough stuff comes, and it will if you're married, not our marriage, okay? You know, but in any marriage, there are going to be times where it's hard, or whether we have kids, or, you know, whether we're just living life. You know, it's going to be difficult at times. There's going to be things happen. So it's really important for the kids to see us to be thankful even when our surroundings or, you know, the peripherals, everything else is falling apart. We still need to be thankful and give thanks. It's just such a really, really important thing to do. And just as a tip, sometimes if you're not feeling thankful, you know, just stop and think, what are three things that I can be thankful for. And that could be a roof over your head, or there could be, you know, the person lying next to you in the bed, or you've got something to eat. Sometimes looking at those three basic things and getting up in the mornings and first off thanking God. You know, so we're in the right mindset before we tackle the day.
And yeah, having prayer as I said, a part of everyday life. Yeah. So it's not just at meals, at bedtime or church, all those sort of routine standard things, but within our throughout our day. Mm. So if the kids have something on, they've got a big test at school, or they're going for a job interview or a driving test, but we stop and we take time to pray with them before they leave for that thing. To pray with them about their friends and whether their friends know who Jesus is, and pray with them for that, and that they would be able to show Jesus to them. If they're having trouble with bullies or stuff at school, that we pray with them about that in the morning before they leave for the day, so they've got the strength to deal with that. As a family, we pray together for holidays. If we're about to leave, as we get in the car before we leave, we stop and we pray. Making prayer a part of everything, so our kids know the importance of it, and that we pray in all things, in all circumstances, at all times.
We're not praying, you know, that I'm a good driver. We're praying for the other people, you know, driving, that, you know, that God will keep us safe from them, basically. I just wanted to clarify that.
So I'd like to read some verses.
Before you do that, Susie, the other thing to remember to, as we teach and pray with our children, is, you know, we quite often will pray for the salvation of other people. Mm. And the Lord loves our children and all their friends just as much. So, you know, getting down side with our children and praying for their friends, that they would have opportunity to share Jesus with them and let them know that they are still, you know, they're still God's representatives, even in primary school and even in kindergarten. And so we would spend time to pray with them, that they would have opportunity to share God with their friends. Mm. Now, sometimes I think we get a little bit muddled up and we think that's just for as we get older in life. Mm. But it's not. It should just be a normal, natural thing that we do at every stage of our life.
Mm. Yes, it's not just adults that become missionaries.
We're
missionaries throughout our whole life, even as children.
Yeah, definitely.
So, just a few verses in the book of Deuteronomy, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. I'll just read. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Memorize his laws. Tell them to your children over and over again. Talk about them all the time, whether you're at home, or walking along the road, or going to bed at night, or getting up in the morning. Write down copies and tie them to your wrists and foreheads to help you obey them. Write these laws on the door frames of your homes and on your town gates. Teaching our kids about the importance of reading the Bible and how to do that according to the age they're at. Having family devotions, I think it's so important as a family, stopping and spending time in God's Word together, whether it be a short time before breakfast or before tea, or depending on what your family situation is, work schedules, what works best for you. There's no right time or wrong time to do it.
No.
But finding a time that suits to stop as a family, even when the kids are little, as toddlers, there's some really good devotion books out there, to speak to little toddlers too, short little ones, to keep their attention span, and read that as a family together. And then obviously all sorts of ones as they get older to do too. I've got lots of different ones I could recommend. If anyone's interested, feel free to see me about that, and I can point you some books that we've used that we've found really great, that we've enjoyed reading as much as our kids. So doing devotions as a family is important, but also teaching our kids individual devotions and the importance of them spending time with God themselves, and not just relying on mum and dad to lead them in a family devotion, but teaching them to be able to do that themselves. And I think that's best, well, good to start right from young, not waiting till our kids can read and oh, then they can do it. But even as a toddler, again, some great little devotion books to help with that. Kurong is a great source of resources. Where you can get short little devotion books. So whether it be at bedtime or whatever, you can have those few minutes with your child to read through a little devotion, but it's showing them that principle of spending that regular time in God's Word at their level with where they're at, so that they get used to it from then, and as they get older, they can move on to other books, and then that practice is easier for them to keep going because it's been naturally put into their life from young.
It's been modelled to them. I mean, that verse we read in Deuteronomy 6 is all about sharing God and sharing His Word with our children in everyday life and things. So whether we're driving in the car or we're kind of doing something at home, that we stop and that we share with them. Because otherwise, if they see that God is just kind of boxed into a particular area of our lives, they can have this very warped sense that God is just kind of here when we have this God time, you know, not the time that God is personal and His Holy Spirit lives within us and we can go to Him at any stage, at any time. And as parents, they need to be seeing that modelled in our lives so that it becomes a reality for them as they see and they watch. They're watching Mum and Dad. How does Mum and Dad do it? And if they see that we've just kind of got God boxed in a particular area or when we go to church or something, that's more than likely what they're going to do in their own lives. So Deuteronomy 6 is certainly explains it very well as parents to make sure we talk about the Lord with them all the time. You know, so they would understand it's just something what we do as we live.
Yeah. And another thing that we've found really useful as the kids have gotten older, but also just personally as an individual, is an app, a Bible app that you can download on your phones or tablets or whatever. The one that we use is called the YouVersion Bible app. It is a fantastic tool to use. I can't speak highly enough of it. I try and tell everyone I know about it. I think it's, an excellent help. They have daily a verse for the day that they can send, so each morning it just pops up on my phone and there's a verse to think on for the day. So it's an easy way to get God's Word regularly coming into your daily life because it pops up on your phone, a tool that I'm sure a lot of us have with us quite regularly. So Danny and I both have this on our phones. Our kids have all got it on tablet or phone. And the beauty of it is that you can connect as a family in that. And as well as the verse for the day, it has lots of other devotions and studies that you can do in there. You can search up topics, whether it even be on parenting, whether it be on marriage, whether it be on other topics, fear and anxiety or stress or joy or gratitude. Also, you name a topic and type it in and there'll be studies in there that you can do and then look through to choose which one suits you. It is really useful tool. The beauty of connecting as a family with it is that any one of us can pick a study to do and then send it to the rest of us in the family. We can all join that study and then we do it together for however many days it goes for. So that's one particular study that we don't have to all be sitting at the table together to do. We can all be doing it on our device wherever we are at different times of the day or whatever, but we're each doing the same study still. And at the end of the reading, there's a spot where you can comment and put your thoughts of what's spoken to you in that reading for the day, what has spoken to you. You put that in and then we can each see each other's comments. So we're still connecting with that and we can talk about what we've shared in that. I just think it's a great tool, a really easy way to be able to, again, connect with our kids and show them another way of doing things.
It's just another springboard while we have devotions every morning. Just another way of helping and encouraging them that their personal growth, that firstly they need to be responsible for that, but also, as obviously we lead them and we teach them, but, it just gives them something that they do by themselves. And another avenue that we could, bring up and talk about, I noticed that you wrote this, in the Bible app. It's another good springboard of being engaged spiritually with our children and encouraging them in that way. You also do different book studies through there as well, looking at like with Romans or Ephesians or different books. So there's a whole realm of things to go through. Mm-hmm. Just encourage, you know, as parents, you know, before I generally send out something, I normally have a read through it first myself to make sure it's going to be good, because you not everything is good. So again, that's about being diligent in what we do.
Mm. Yep. Also, in reading the Bible, SAMs do a great job at encouraging our children and encouraging us to help our children in the Bible. I don't know if you've got on board with the SAMs at Home Facebook page that they've been putting a lot of work into putting out there. I encourage you to join that if you haven't.
Yeah.
Each week they put a family challenge on there at the moment. And this week's family challenge fits in with Nathan's challenge to the church of reading through Ephesians. The SAM's challenge is to read through Ephesians together as a family. So another great way to encourage our kids. I think too, with the YouVersion app again, if reading is something that you find hard and struggle with, in the YouVersion app you can go to whatever book of the Bible and just hit play and it will read it to you. So that's a really helpful way if you find it really hard to sit there and just read through it. If it's easier for you to listen to it, you can do that in there as well. It's free to download, so cost isn't an issue.
And you can download any version of the Bible you want as well. And when you're driving, what a better way to hit play and listen to God's word as we spend time behind the wheel. Obviously, making sure that when we're praying, that we keep our eyes open.
Always a good thing.
Always.
Mm. But yeah, so even in your busy days, when you're out and about in the car a lot, it's a great way to get God's word still in by just being able to listen to it. Having scripture in our everyday life is powerful, and I think we need to make sure we don't underestimate the effect that it can have in our everyday lives. In Deuteronomy, in what we read in verse 6 and 7, it says, I'll read again, memorize his laws. Mm. Tell them to your children over and over again. Talk about them all the time, whether you're at home, walking along the road, or going to bed at night, or getting up in the morning. These verses just talk about the importance of memorizing it. Learning the SAMS memory verse with our kids, I think, is a really important
thing. And flossing.
No. And flossing, no. Okay. Claire will say no, no flossing.
And our kids are saying no as well, I must say.
SAMs do such a great job at putting verses to song. I'm sure you've all seen at different times in their presentations that they've done at Christmas, you see the verses that they put into song, making it a bit easier way to remember the words by having that tune. We've seen the effect of that time and time again with our kids when they've heard the song somewhere and instead of singing the words of the song, they're straight into singing the memory verse. Because once you learn it, you can't seem to sing the song normally without using the Bible verse instead, which is a great way to do it. So I encourage you to learn it with them. And the Holy Spirit will use the words of the Bible that we memorise, the Holy Spirit can then use and bring to our mind at the time that we need it. When we might not naturally ourselves think of what to say, the Holy Spirit can bring that to our forefront of our mind. As an example, one of our children, I remember one night at bedtime, looked at me and sort of said, Mum, how do I know I'm really saved? That's a question I'm sure most of us have asked at some stage or other in our lives, in our journeys. And as soon as he asked that, a verse came to my mind, Romans 10:9, as that's a SAMS memory verse. And so I knew it was a verse that he knew, that I knew. So I didn't have to try and stop and think, oh, how do I best explain this? How do I give him the assurance that he needs? I didn't need to, because God's given us the words, and I could just look at him and say, well, mate, what does God tell us in the Bible? What does it say in Romans 10:9? And his eyes lit up because he knew that verse, and so we started singing it. I won't sing it now, but if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he knew it. That was all the assurance he needed. He needed God's words, and I couldn't have done it better than that. So Thank you, SAMHS, for all that you do. Again, if we get on board and work with the SAMHS team and what they're doing, it is a great help to what we can do in our day-to-day lives with our kids. I think having scripture up in our home as well. In Deuteronomy again, in those verses 8 and 9, it says, "Write down copies and tie them to your wrists and foreheads to help you obey them. Write these laws on the door frames of your homes and on your town gates." Memorising scripture can be tricky, it can be hard, and I think having it written down and stuck around the place is a great way. If we're finding it hard to remember, if we're seeing it again and again and again, it's going to help with memorising. So whether it's writing it down and sticking it on your bedside table, so when you wake up in the morning you see it on your bathroom mirror, on the back of the toilet door, in the car, somewhere, on your fridge, anywhere, so that you're seeing it regularly. I like printing it out. If there's a verse, well, one particular time I'll tell you about, there's a verse that was really speaking to me, and so I print it out on the computer on some nice paper. I like to put it in a frame and have it up in the lounge just for myself, so that I see it regularly, and it brings me comfort. So I had this particular verse up one time, and a few weeks after it being up in the lounge, one of our children came home from school and was telling me about their day. They'd had a hard day, been having different issues that they told me about, and they said, "Mum, it really helped me today, because when I was at school and struggling with this, that verse that you've got in the lounge kept coming into my mind, because I see it all the time, I knew it, and it kept coming to my mind, and it really helped me today, and I felt so much better because of it." So scripture is powerful, and God will use it. The Holy Spirit brings it to our minds if we have it up and make use of learning it and being able to have it there to be used in our lives.
Couldn't agree with that anymore. And if Susie ever puts, say, a little scripture on my bedside table, I know I need to listen.
I don't do that.
No, she doesn't.
Special occasions. A great way of bringing the fun and the silliness into our homes. I love making lots of fun at birthdays and fun times, having fun with our kids, having a laugh, creating good memories.
Very important.
I think regardless of what we're doing, we are creating memories of our kids' childhood.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
Yep.
So why not make them good memories?
Yes.
Easter and Christmas are great times, my favourite times of year.
They are. And your birthday.
Yes. But Easter and Christmas are great times to be able to have that fun with our kids in teaching them about God too. Easter time, doing Easter egg hunts. Everybody loves a treasure hunt, an Easter hunt. And I found that waiting till Sunday, you had this whole weekend off, but you had to wait till Sunday to do the Easter egg hunt, seems like so much wasted days. So I decided when the kids were little one year that we would do an Easter egg hunt every day of Easter. Why not? So I went to the cheap shop and just bought plastic hollow eggs that you can get really cheap and numbered them all. And then you can collect things from home, so it doesn't have to be expensive. Leaves, sticks, little Lego pieces, print pictures off, and type out little verses to put in there. Whatever things to help tell the Easter story. So I would, hide these eggs around on the Good Friday. We could all hunt for them and come and sit down, and then we could open them in the numbered order, and then it would tell a part of the Easter story. And then Saturday we could do the next part, and Sunday the final part.
Kids loved it.
Yes,
and Thanks, chocolate. Susie.
I'm not sure who loved it more. And chocolate, of course, on each of them, because you have to have chocolate. But it was just a fun way to again be bringing in those truths of Easter, and so that the whole weekend we can bring our focus to what is Easter about, and it's not just about the chocolate, as good as that part is. But it's about Jesus. It's about what God has done for us and helping our kids to learn that well. Looking at the Gospels in the New Testament, they each have a different, obviously with different authors, they have a slightly different way they tell parts of the Easter story. And so I think even picking one of the Gospels and using the eggs then to tell that story over Easter one year, and then the next year is using a different gospel, so that each year your kids can see different parts of the Easter story highlighted in different ways. A good way to do that. Our kids loved it so much that when it came to the first year we did it, when it came to Christmas, they asked why couldn't they do the story hunts for Christmas. So then we had to get the eggs out again and do the Christmas story in the hunts too. And so we looked at different ways over the years of doing that. Christmas is great with Advent. Lots of people use the chocolate Advent calendars, which are great. There's also some really good Advent readings. This one, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift by Anne Voskamp, is a beautiful book, and she's just written it really nicely. But it retraces the lineage of Jesus from the Garden of Eden to the manger and beyond. So it's a really great way. So the whole month of December, each day, you're focusing on God and how much He loves us and what He's done. And it's not just about Christmas Day, but it's that whole month of December. Your whole family is, looking at why we have Christmas and what it's about. This also has little ornaments that can go with it, so that each day as you do the reading, you can hang an ornament on your tree. And there's lots of different ones. This is one of my favourite. Then there's other ones as the kids get older of the names of Jesus, and you can read a different one each day of December for that. There's, again, lots of resources. We don't have to come up with these things ourselves, like a story hunt. You can have ones that you can purchase that other really creative people have put together themselves, and we can help use that. If you're looking for ideas with those, again, feel free to talk to me. I'd love to share the ideas of ones that I found really good, and I can put you in touch with where to find them if you'd like a bit of help in finding some good ones.
And the kids truly do love them. They look forward to going out. And not only that, it's just naturally teaching our kids about the Lord, which is so very important.
Mm. And having fun.
Very much. Silliness is a big priority in this family.
It is. With all these things, teaching our kids and instilling in them how to love God and live for Him, also it's not just about ourselves. We need to look outside of ourselves and teach our kids how to care for others. Yeah. And, that there's more to life than just us. I think.
Definitely.
Firstly, in that we need to build up a healthy sense of self-worth and self-esteem in our children. So that they can develop their identity in Christ and find their worth and their value in Him. That they can feel loved and important and valued. Now, on that, I know that not all of us have had that. Not everyone's had a healthy home life and loving parents to invest in them. Some people grow up hearing nothing but negative things and not feeling loved and valued. If this is true for you, then please know that God says otherwise. The only perfect parent, God, says that you are loved. You are important. You are valued. You are a child of God. Your home is in God's house. And you are chosen by God. You are who God says you are. What a great song. Whatever we've been told or not told in our lives, we are who God says we are, His promises. And to help encourage our children, it's important to tell them these things and to tell them that we love them, that we are proud of them. We can also put it into notes and leave notes in their lunch boxes for them to find at school, or leave on their pillow for them to find, reaffirming these things that we tell them. We can also do that for one another, for other adults or different people that might need to hear get little notes in the mail of encouraging things or messages.
Encouragement is good. Sometimes when we're down in the dumps, that word or that encouragement can really lift our spirits. So don't forget to also encourage our parents as children for what they're doing.
Lastly, can I encourage mothers and everyone with the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians,
the book of the month that we're going through.
Right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Therefore I, being Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. making allowance for each other's faults because of your love.
Yeah.
Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace.
Mm. Thank you, Susie. And as much as this is Mother's Day, we as husbands to mothers or children of mothers, we need to make sure that we are also living out Ephesians 4, towards them and each other. As a son, I failed miserably in doing this in my teenage years with my own mum. But as I've grown as a Christian, as the Lord has continually changed my life, He has helped me to understand the great importance in how I live and the impact that it can have on other people, whether it be good or bad, when I'm in control of my own life. So like us all, whether we're husbands or children, to ask ourselves, how are we going to do this? Are we living the life that God has called us to live? Are we humble? Are we gentle? Or are we pig-headed and strong-willed where we want to bulldoze everyone? It's not the way that God would have us to live. Are we patient and making allowances for the mistake our mothers have made or what they're still making? Nobody is perfect, including us. And so we need to keep on making allowances and forgiveness, forgiving them for all that they've done. When Susie makes a mistake, and it might be hard to believe, but when she makes a mistake, I still need to forgive her and let it go. And not just keep on bringing it up and reminding her and dragging her back, but to forgive and to release her. And so we need to be practicing forgiveness in our lives. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives in every area. Otherwise, we become the ones who are directing what we want to do rather than allowing God through His Holy Spirit to change us into better people. People that are reaping good things and sowing good things in people's lives. And the last point is, are we living in the peace and the contentment that the Lord offers us? Knowing that we can live a life that has no regrets. Living a life that is purposeful and meaningful. And certainly is a benefit to the people who we are investing and spending time with. Sometimes we go through life and we may feel like that we've nailed this whole parent or this whole child thing. Or possibly you're sitting there and you're thinking that there could be areas, or there could be many areas that I've failed miserably in. But I've got good news. There is forgiveness, and there is grace, and there is help and compassion that the Lord offers each and every one of us.